Joshua 23. In the outline, there was three things I saw in this that Joshua does when he talks about farewell. And this farewell actually goes into 24 also. 23, we got to keep in mind, is only the leadership. He only called the leadership of the 12 tribes, which we'll look at here shortly. But the three things I look at that Joshua did is he talked about promises that have been fulfilled. He talks about commands that going forward. And then he talks about warnings of what could happen if you don't follow these commands. Well, as I'm reading through this and looking at that, I think of three key times in our past history that this, that, well, it'll make sense when I go through it. First one, obviously, is creation. God creates in 6 days earth, all the vegetation, animals, everything. And the last thing he creates and puts there on earth is man. And he gives man a companion, Eve. So now here, Adam and Eve, they've got everything. God's promised them this. You know, they're intermingling with the animals. They've got all the food they need. I mean, they are set up where we'd all like to be. I mean, you could play tag with a lion and not worry about it, you know. But one thing God talked about says, do not eat of this tree. Do not take of the fruit of this tree. So what does man do? We won't go into that. He broke it. Hence the curse. So there's the initial curse. And that curse was for creation and man. And that curse is going on today. It hasn't stopped. That was the start of it. Well, then we go through a whole list of things that have occurred. And now we come to Joshua. Now, the reason why I had Paula read what she did in Genesis was there was a promise. Abraham coming down, traveling, and God promised, hey, I'm going to give you this land. Well, it's about 500 years later that it actually happens. I don't think that my years are exactly right. We know they were 400 years in slavery in Egypt. By the way, another thought, these thoughts always sit in my head. You know, putting together 400 years of slavery, do you realize that the United States has only been around for 250 years as a country? 250 years. We've got 150 more years of slavery. No. Well, you can see in our 250 years where we've progressed. Now, I'm not trying to make the Constitution like the Moses' law, but look how we are drifting away from our founding fathers. And look, we got the advantage to look at what's going to happen, what I'm going to talk about in Joshua 23 moving forward, what the children of Israel did, and how they drifted away. Kind of fascinating. The third one, maybe I'll talk about it at the end. So let's get into Joshua 23. Maybe I'll get into that at the end there. So Joshua is now 110 years old. And I like how it's written. I got to find it here. Joshua was old, advanced in years. So he called, but later on it talks about I just missed it. Bear with me a moment. I'm not finding it. It's right there. How he calls himself old. Going the way of the earth. Oh, anyways, let's move on. That's where we all end up, going the way of the earth. 110 years old. We know this from Joshua 24, verse 29. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. So now he's called all the leadership. Now that leadership includes elders, their heads, their judges, their officers. One thing to note, they did not include the Levites or the priests at this point. So everything that he's talking about here, he's talking to the leadership of that, of each tribe. Now, the book of Joshua is about leadership and Joshua's leadership. And one thing I always notice is, you know, a good leader, you can tell, how do I want to put this? Example I would use is back in my old days at Carter Lumber, they had store managers. And the best way to understand who that manager was to go into that store when the leader wasn't there, when the store manager wasn't there. You could tell exactly his approach, how he treated his people, how he treated the store and so on, just by seeing what was there. If it was a mess, if it was cleaned up, if the employees were polite, if the employees were rude or ignored you. Leadership trickles down and affects, and this is what we're seeing with Joshua and his great leadership. But yet there's still that element that's out there that, as we see as we go through. So he's called leaders of all the 12 tribes, and he's going to talk to them about, hey, I'm getting ready to go. And I want to talk about some of these things. So in verses 3 through 5, he talks about the fulfilled promises and the number of fulfilled promises. He doesn't really go into detail of them, but they've seen them. Most of these, they were firsthand witnesses. Because, here's the promised land. This is the generation that's going to take it. And they've seen what God has done in the previous chapters that we studied for them to come in, take care of these people, move them out. Now, we got to be careful. Obviously, not all are gone. They cleaned out enough as a group, as a whole body, that there was no more trouble. There was no more immediate wars or anything. Because it says right off the bat, now it came about after many days when the Lord had given rest to Israel. So they had rest, but there was remnants of these people still around. They're not gone. And we know about the Gibeonites who actually conned them and got allowed to stay. So there's people there that still are not. God's instruction was clear them all out, but there's a remnant there, so we have to keep that in mind. But they saw what God did in sweeping through there and clearing that land out. And the Canaanites were a mighty group. They witnessed and watched the dividing of the land for each tribe. You know, the inheritance that was promised. And we heard through Tucker and some of the others that did that section of the dividing of the land and getting things set up and how there was even issues there. Typical family, there's some issues and challenges. But now they got their land. They got their, it's all staked out for them. And then verse 5, God will continue to fight. He's reinforcing the fact that God will continue to fight for you and drive those left out from before you. But he's almost saying it as he's talking to these 12 tribes of leadership groups. You're in your land, you're in your property, and now it's up to you to finish the task that's there. God has got you in here. This is what I want, you know, this is what you need to finish off. So those are kind of the promises. Then in verses 6 through 12, he jumps into the commands. Things that you need to do be able to hold this land and be in grace, be in good graces with God. Because you know, and he talks about it, you know deep down in your heart and soul that this God is behind this. We'll get to that chapter or verse. So, verse 6, keep everything that is written in the book of the law of Moses. If you really want to understand and get into it, I'm not going to get into it here very much, but if you want to get into why the law Paul addresses that in Galatians. Galatians 3, starting in 19, he will really address why the law and what it was purposed for. Now, we understand that nobody could actually keep up with the law. The law was a way of atonement for the sin that was already there. The original curse, it's there. The law was established to make that atonement, and the blood sacrifice is necessary to stay in relationship with God. But Paul does a great job of explaining it better than me. Well, maybe. Sometimes Paul can get confusing. I should say that. Sorry, Paul. verse 7. Do not associate with them, meaning those remnant nations still among them. And he breaks it down even more. Do not cling to these nations. Do not intermarry with them. You know, these people are here, and this is where, if you're not going to get them all the way pushed out and stuff, don't associate. It's like turn your back to them, and maybe they'll move away sooner or later. I think God's intent originally was to wipe them out, get rid of them. Things have a way of coming back somehow. It's our nature, I guess. And those are in verses 12, where he breaks it down even more. Do not cling to these nations. Do not intermarry with them. He even gets even more strict here, and this is based from Exodus 20. You shall have no other gods before me, from the Ten Commandments. He talks about in verse 7 also, do not mention the name of their God. I mean, don't even mention the name. It almost implies, it's the little things that occur that suddenly grow. It's like a little seed. You start mentioning a name, and next thing you know, you're accidentally just doing it all the time. Things can just creep. Satan is unique, unfortunately. Verse 7 also says, do not swear by them. Now, when they say swear, that's like make an oath to, commit to, anything like that. Do not serve them. And we have the fortune of seeing what, you know, you remember with the kings and stuff, they didn't take the high altars or posts down in the mountains and stuff. So they were just there. There is an irritant. Don't serve them or bow down to them, as well as make anyone. I find that interesting. As well as make anyone. Do not be the source of causing someone to go in that direction. Make them stumble. Okay. But then there's a but, which is a good one here. Cling to the Lord your God. Verse 8. As you have done to this day, thanks to the leadership of Joshua. This last is again reinforced, point driven home. Verses 9 and 11. So take great care for yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Number one commandment. And it goes on. And as for you, no one has stood against you to this day. Now, these are the things he's kind of backing up the fact that what God has done for you. I like the point of one of your men puts a flight to 1,000. I always think of I can't think of the movie. I've seen it somewhere where somebody's standing there and this gang's coming at him, and all of a sudden they turn and run, and you're sitting there like, oh, look how awesome I am. And behind you, here's this. So in this case, God's right there. These 1,000 guys are coming at you, and, you know, hey. But he's there to help. As long as you're on the right side. It is your God that has fought for you, just as he promised. I know the one chapter I did, when they took the southern kingdom, that God rained down the hailstones that wiped out. So he's there. He's going to do whatever it takes to get you where you need to be. He's with you. Take care that you love your Lord. Verse 11. He says it again. He said a number of times. Love your Lord. Seek the Lord. Focus on the Lord. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay. Well, along with that then comes, well, what if I don't do that? Kind of thing. Warnings if you do not obey these commands. This kind of covers 13 through 16. Verse 13, the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out. If you start to intermarry, all the stuff we talked about, if you cling to their gods, if you start looking at their gods, you even mention their God's name, he is not going to support you in clearing these people out. You're not obeying what he has asked. It's kind of like as simple as Adam, don't eat of this tree. Boom, ate of that tree. Why? If you don't follow, they will be a snare and a trap to you. This is right in those verses, verse 13. A whip on your sides, thorns in your eyes. Whew. Can't imagine thorns. I don't want anybody poking around in my eyes. Whew. They're going to be a problem for you. And he's spelling out pretty good. This is going to be a problem for you if you do not obey and follow. Verse 14, Joshua says again, I am dying. Reaffirms how, and that's what I was looking for, how he says it there. How they know in their hearts and soul how God has cared for them. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord God spoke concerning you has failed. He has completed everything he has said he was going to do for you. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. So he's letting the leadership know that, God's there for you. You've seen it. You've witnessed it. Reminds me of, this is kind of a child that doesn't know best, but you're always told, don't touch the stove, it's hot, don't touch the stove. Well, until you touch it, you don't know. Then you realize how hot it is. Don't mess with this. Don't play around with the idols, their gods, and then, it's going to burn you. 15, another but. Just as the Lord has literally fulfilled every word you need to keep, you need to keep his commandments, literally. Otherwise, God will remove you from this land. Here's the warning. And then 16. Huge. One little word. Huge, huge, huge. And it starts out when. Not if. When you violate the covenant. Already knows it's going to happen. Not if. When. And 16, we'll read it real quick. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods, calling it right out, and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. I'll take it away from you. I'm kicking you out. So the reason why I say this chapter is pivotal, didn't get in real deep on it, but this chapter totally explains what's going forth through the rest of the Old Testament. Why God put a curse on Israel. Now, as we know, there's a whole lot of books, a whole lot of stuff going on, from the judges to the kings to the just separation of the two lands, Israel, Judah, the exile of Israel, the removal of Judah, All because, right back to this chapter and this last verse, they did not obey what God had directed them. And there's the curse that rolls on. A lot of other stories in there, obviously. But huge. Actually, I read one thing where they said, if you didn't have the book of Joshua, and you took it out and you just read it without the book of Joshua in there, you wouldn't understand what all was going on in the rest of the Old Testament. Wouldn't have a clue. I mean, what, you know. So, that's a huge one there. Now, I talked about there was three that I was thinking about. This, chapter 23 and 24, will continue it, sets up what's going to happen. A new curse because the children of Israel are not obeying. They go to other gods. They start worshiping other gods. They intermarry, the whole thing. There's good leadership comes on, takes care of it. Bad leadership comes on, it goes. I mean, it's back and forth. But it's heading one direction, and that's removal from the land. So we got another problem. Well, it brings us to, and it sets up the whole thing of the birth of Christ. And that's the next one that I see in the line of what's going on here. Because we're pretty much hopeless moving forward now. And we, you guys, actually last weekend celebrated Christ arose. I remember Jerry was talking about it. It's probably the single most important event in the history of humanity. That Christ went to the cross and arose. So, there's a promise again now. And it talks about in the New Testament, since Christ replaced the old law, replaced the old covenant, brought on the new covenant, and we're living that now. And that is, believe in his Son, and you'll have eternal life. We got the gift of heaven. Of course, there's a lot more to that and how we work and the rewards and so on. We won't get into that. But that's the next step. But then the part is, the warning part is, well, if you don't, it's not going to be good for you. There'll be things to pay for. So that's where I looked at the three things, and that what Joshua 23 brought to those light to me. I don't know how I did. Hopefully it opens up some thoughts for you and so on moving forward. But it really sets the pace of what's going on next. What's interesting is we're going from the book of Joshua to Acts. And Acts really kicks off the church is what Jesus was basically went and establishing. So we're going from the beginning of one curse to the beginning of the resolution to the in Acts. So it's a good combination of what you're going to do. So that is the book of 23. Some interesting thoughts I hope we gave you. It wasn't a big chapter. I was very fortunate to get small chapters. but some intriguing stuff. Of course, intriguing stuff all through the Bible, which is great. And we have a great Savior. We have a great God. Boy, you think about it. He is, I am who I am. He created it all. And he's watching out for us. It's amazing that he talks about in 23 about intermarrying and all this stuff. And we watch for, I'm not sure how long the, is it another 400 or 500 years before they are kicked out? So there's another good stretch where God is patient. There's that remnant that always comes back. And God says, okay. It's kind of like back in the Old Testament, back when Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah says, show me 10. I'll save it, or I'll leave it. Show me 5, you know. He's holding in there. But the day is coming, he says. The day is coming. Anyways, let me pray, and then we're going to wrap up with a song. Thanks for your attention. I appreciate it. Dear Lord, it's what a joy to get together and then just spend some time in your word. Your word just... it's so enlightening and so thrilling, even amongst all the stuff that's going on. This world, obviously Satan's domain, and we're temporarily here, but we have you. We can always turn to you. You're always there for us. And that was all available. You saw that, and you set that all up for us with your son. And can't imagine the pain that you felt when you look at creation and how it went and what we've done. And that yet your love, care, grace through with your son, Jesus, what that means to us, that we may know you, truly, truly know you. We just praise you and thank you for that. We bring it to you in Christ's name. Amen.